Education will be called to order. First up, we have Senate File 5326, which is, we'll hear the Office of Higher Education's presentation of the governor's budget recommendations today, and then we'll be laying it over before taking it up with a delete all amendment on Thursday. The DE is being finalized, and we'll publish it this evening. So I'd like to call up Ms. Nikki Oliver to walk us through. Welcome, Ms. Oliver. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Ooh, a lot of chairs up here. Sorry. Hi, my name is Nikki Oliver. I'm the Director of Government Relations and Community Engagement for the Minnesota Office of Higher Education. I'll be talking pretty briefly. It's a small bill in front of you all. So what the bill in front of you all is doing is creating a fee for our licensing and registration department, which licenses and registers the private institutions in the state. These fees are to address increased costs resulting from institutions that require multiple revisions that exceed the normal administrative cost of processing the institution's applications. And it creates a additional pathway for institutions to continue their applications without the division staff having to deny the application or forcing the institution to reapply for authorization, which would then result in them having to pay the full application fee again. The fee is applied to institutions that have had, I believe, three or more revisions, or I think it's either three or more or six or more revisions requested for the same submission requirement under those statutes. We approximate about 35 institutions between the Minnesota Private and Out-of-School State Public Post-Secondary Education Act and the Private Career School Act. Being impacted, specifically 10 registered institutions under a special revenue account and then 25 licensed institutions under the special revenue fund. The fees generated will be used to cover the incremental administrative expenses associated with the review of these institutions, and there's no anticipated net revenue or costs associated with this change. The second change that you see in the bill is related to the ALS grant that was created in honor of former Senator Tomasoni. Our office got this one-time funding of $20 million. It took a lot of time to get the first round out and off the ground. As you may know, our office does not do ALS research or have expertise in that field, even though we do run a spinal cord traumatic brain injury research grant. We actually have an advisory council for that program. This program does not have an advisory council, so we did seek outside assistance to run the first competition. We received 28 applications, mostly from Mayo and the University of Minnesota. We did receive four applications from other entities, which were health partners and Minnesota Healthcare. We were on the reviewers. Selected only five applications to be awarded. So we still have a little over $15 million to spend out. So what the change in the bill is doing is to extend the time in which we can issue out the funds and also makes it explicit that we can elicit help from other outside entities without having to go through a full kind of competitive process for that assistance. So that is pretty much it for that bill.
Thank you, Ms. Oliver, for that. Are there any questions or comments from members? Seeing none, any final comments before we lay it over?
No.
Okay. Senate File 5326 is now laid over. Thank you, Ms. Oliver. Thank you. Next up, we have Senate File 4635 from Senator Kupick. We will also be laying this bill over. While you're getting settled, Senator Kupick, I understand you have the A1 amendment.
Depends which one we're doing first. I think the A1 is for 3806.
It was 4635, but sure, we could do 3806 instead. Yeah. Yeah, so A1 is for the SF 4635.
Okay, so it's sure. It's
4635,
for the,
yes.
For the money part.
Yes.
There we go. That's good. Important.
So Senator Putnam would like to move the A1 amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The amendment is adopted. Senator Kupick.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee. I'm really, this is one of the bills that I'm really happy to bring here before this committee this year. This ties in, I think, to another one of those workforce issues that we talked about before previously when we had, we're talking about teachers. There are those elements in our society that make our society run, and law enforcement is one of those areas. And so, up in my area, this is becoming a bit of a problem in terms of students who have to, when they have to go do their skills training. So when they do that, they have to go, if they do their education in Moorhead, they have to go to Alexandria for skills training, which can be an 8 to 10 week program down in Alexandria. That means they have to go find a place to live in Alexandria for a short amount of time. It's 100 miles away. We have had instances where some of the people who are in this program have been, they've been slightly older. They have a family. They have a house with a mortgage and they need a job. And going down to Alexandria for that amount of time is a huge inconvenience for them. So with that, looking for some way that we could help them out, looking at that, thought it would be an excellent idea if we did a similar thing where though that amount where they go down for the skills training, we waive the tuition on that amount. And particularly up in our area, we have been, the Moorhead Police Department, kind of chronically maybe 6 to 8 officers short. And we are also competing with a program over on the North Dakota side that also makes it easier for them to train with a local police department right over there. So it, anything I think that we can do to help our workforce out, particularly around law enforcement, would be great. And I know, Chair, when you were up, we visited Minnesota State Community Technical College in December, and some of those students we talked to that very day are going to testify on behalf of this bill. And they, too, put forward about the difficulties they face in going into this field. So I do appreciate the time you spent with them, and I also appreciate all the co-authors, including you, Senator Duckworth, Senator Rarick, that have joined on to this bill to put this forward. And so with that, I have brought with me an entire, and Senator Putnam, I'm sorry I left you out. I feel really bad about that. But with that, I have brought with me basically an entire posse of Moorhead people who will testify on behalf of this bill. So I would like to hear from the testifiers now.
Our first posse member is Derek Swenson.
Thank you, Senator Kupick, for that interesting introduction. Chair and members of the committee, I'm here to testify on behalf of Senate File 4635. As Senator Kupick mentioned, we have significant challenges in law enforcement, specifically in numbers and recruitment and retention. When we start looking at a lot of the tools that we currently have, our career has faced many challenges in recent years. Our workplace climates have changed. Competitive opportunities have been developed to compete with workforce members. Technology changes, especially after COVID, developed careers that were, and where location and residency may no longer be a factor. And that also competes with careers in law enforcement, where obviously there would be a different factor, such as elements they have to deal with shift work, with weather and other challenges. So in recent years, law enforcement have seen an increase in open positions and an increase in competing for the same limited resources. As of today, the Minnesota Post Board hiring page has had approximately 200 ads. To put that in perspective, and each of those ads probably are hiring multiple officers. To put that in perspective, when I started in law enforcement in the year 2000, I had procced less than 12 departments to choose from, even though Moorhead was the department I wanted to work for. But there were just a few jobs available for each of those. So we are currently have a very limited number of eligible candidates for our hiring, and we need to look beyond the needs of individual departments. Unfortunately, the current status puts departments competing with each other, and the actual number of positions are not increasing at a statewide level. One hole is filled while creating another hole in another department. Currently, students have an expense of not only obtaining a post-recognized 2 or 4 year degree, but they also have to attend a post-recognized skills program. As Senator Kupek mentioned, we have had candidates that just simply weren't able to do that because they have their family and they have to be gone for that time, or they're saving for as many opportunities that they have to use their finances for, and skills just was that extra piece that they don't. Going looking further at our North Dakota partners, they're able to hire untrained applicants who simply have 60 college credits in anything and hire them as a full-time officer and then train them while being paid as a member of their department. Recently, initiatives have been offered at the Minnesota state level to assist with recruitment and retention. The Pathways to Policing allows us to hire pre-enforcement roles for candidates and help them and support them in their training and pay for some of their schooling. It's designed often, especially at our department, looking for that non-traditional student. And we also have the IC POET intensive, a comprehensive peace officer education and training grant that we're gonna currently be using. That's where we're gonna be looking for candidates who are currently in the workforce and have a 2 or 4 year degree in any other type of career, and they want to switch to go into law enforcement. We're able to hire them and financially support them that way. So in summary, we must consider there are many that are going to be leaving or retiring in the future, and our workforce needs to support not only our current openings, but also the future retirements. Without taking active measures to become competitive with other professions and increase our hiring pool, all of Minnesota will be affected by a lack of applicants, and staffing issues will even become worse. And any action to become more competitive and reduce barriers, such as financial restraints to obtain training, is necessary to assist all of law enforcement and to welcome new candidates into our profession. What may work for one candidate may not work for another. We need to load our toolbox with as many tools as possible to think outside the box and to increase our candidate pool in order to meet the needs of our future law enforcement candidates in Minnesota. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for your testimony, Mr. Swenson. Next up, we have Brianna Mitchell, who is a student at Minn State Moorhead. Welcome. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
I'm Brianna Mitchell. I'm a student here at M State Moorhead. The biggest issue that we have is having to pay for all of this, not being able to have a job back home. So we either have to get a new job 100 miles away from where our whole lives are, or we have to try and collect finances enough throughout this time to support ourselves.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, going off of what Brianna over here just said, I think it's a big issue, very big issue, just to, you know, find a way to pay for the cost of tuition over at Skills. What I've been hearing is somewhere around $6,500 to $7,500 just for, you know, the tuition, the schooling, the housing, if you get that as well. And that's not including, you know, whether or not you have kids here, whether or not you have pets here. Whether or not you've got the house that you own. So if you're paying mortgage, if you've got an apartment, you know, you still got to maintain that rent. You still got to maintain your car payments, you know, insurance, things along that nature. So I think it's, you know, it causes a lot of stress on us because it forces us in a way to, find a lot of ways to kind of make that money up while, you know, going through school right now and then just try to find a way to support us in a way.
Hello and good afternoon. Going off what Vinyard Brianna was saying, of course, paying for skills is going to be very difficult for us, along with, you know, dorm deposits and like the dorm fees. But not just that, in case also for food and water while being at the dorms, and of course, if you want to go out to eat, the cost of that as well, and any other fun activities, with the restrictions of not being able to work, therefore you're not getting paid the whole time, also not being paid to go there, which makes it a lot more difficult for us to financially hold ourselves at a good pace. And of course, not being able to get as much financial aid help is also another big issue for a lot of students. I've heard in the past, there's been a few students who graduated from here and didn't go to Skills like another two years later, just so they can have the financial money to afford it.
Hello, thanks for having us. I'm Jeff Nelson. I'm the Criminal Justice Coordinator here at M-State. And this is a sample of my students. It's a fact. We do fundraising just to help students pay for Skills. And I have had students who have had to decline or drop out of the program simply because they could not afford to go to Skills. So really, any help you could give us would be great. Thank you, Senator Kupek, for your assistance in allowing us to speak to you today.
Thank you so much, Mr. Nelson. Can the previous two students introduce their names for the record?
My name is Vinyad Riffy.
I'm Vicente Amoles.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions from members or comments? Senator Farnsworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering, so I heard you talking about Alexandria. Is that the only school that offers this? And if not, I think I'm reading this correctly, but this would apply to all schools that offer the training, correct?
Senator Kupek.
Thank you, Senator Farnsworth. It is not the only school. Alexandria is just the closest one to the Moorhead area. I think there's four or five scattered around the state, but it does apply statewide to the whole system.
Senator Farnsworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator. I just wanted to make sure Hibbing wasn't getting let out.
Or yep.
Let whatever. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Farnsworth. Any other questions from members? Any final comments, Senator Kupek?
No, I thank you for hearing this, and I think again, it is a tremendous workforce issue, and also just one of those things in our society that we need, you know, to make sure that we have law enforcement to keep things running. So I think anything we can do to help out on that, it's a small piece of the puzzle.
Thank you so much, Senator Kupek, and thank you for your work on this. Senate File 4635 is laid over. Next up, we have Senate File 3806. Which will also be laid over. And I also see, Senator Kupek, that you have the A2 author's amendment. Would you like to discuss it before we move it?
Sure. The author's amendment on this one is kind of comes out of conversations between different stakeholder groups to agree on some clarifying language. So that is the amendment on this bill.
Awesome. Senator Putnam moves the A2 amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed? The amendment is adopted. Senator Kupek.
Sure, thanks. So this one also, in some ways also ties into that same kind of theme about workforce. This is about expanding childcare opportunities on campus around college campuses. So more than 1 in 5 students nationwide are parents, and about half are single parents. On top of tuition, textbooks, housing, and food, student parents also have to balance the difficult task of finding affordable childcare. Childcare options on campus are lacking. The number of institutions with childcare centers on campus has declined by 25% over the last 10 years. This bill would help give institutions more tools to address childcare shortages on campus. So in paragraph A, this gives grants to Minnesota State to create statewide partnership on the Kids Campus Initiative. Kids on Campus is a joint project of the Association of Community College Trustees and the National Head Start Association. Through this grant, MinState and Kids on Campus would have funding to hire a temporary statewide grant coordinator to provide technical assistance to colleges and Head Start centers interested in establishing these partnership. The model proposed by Kids on Campus is creating a mutually beneficial arrangement between colleges and Head Start centers. MinState already has 4 campuses with Head Start centers, M-State in Detroit Lakes, Pine Tech, Alexandria Tech, and Northland Community College. So with that, I would also have a few testifiers to talk about this.
Thank you, Senator Kupek. First up, we have Andy Carter, who is a student at Minneapolis Community and Technical College. Welcome, Andy. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Sheriff Attay, members of the committee, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here today. My name is Andy Carter, and I'm here to ask support in the bill SF3806 and bring quality, affordable childcare to college campuses across Minnesota. I am a first-generation college student, born and raised in Minneapolis and currently a student at Minneapolis Community Technical College. When I graduate, I want to be an advocate for people that cannot advocate for themselves. As a single mother, I know what it's like to face challenge after challenge and be completely on your own. I have 6 children, ages ranging from infant to 8 years old. Being a parenting student is probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do. One of my children was diagnosed with autism. 2 of them have IEPs for severe ADHD. Traditional childcare was not an option for us. So I had to quit my job and take care of them. Like many families, we've had to make many tough choices about how to survive on very limited resources. However, I stayed in school because I know higher learning is how I'm going to break the cycle of generational poverty. I don't just want my children to survive, I want to show them the world. To say our household is busy is a gross understatement. The logistics I manage on a daily basis are considerable. I have a minimum of 3 different drop-off times for school and childcare. Sometimes there is a different pickup time for each child. There have been times when childcare fell through and I've had to bring 1 or 2 of my children to class with me, hoping that a stash of crayons and paper will keep them occupied long enough to prevent disruption. It's go, go, go all day. And then in the evening, when the kids are asleep, I finally get to do my homework. The next day, I get up and do it all over again. It is an exhausting journey. My story isn't unique. 22% of all undergraduate students are parents. That means 1 in 5 of us are sleep deprived. 1 in 5 of us are stressed. 1 in 5 of us are juggling plates while on a unicycle, trying desperately hard not to lose our balance and fall. Through Tennessee and hard work, I've managed to maintain a 3.8 GPA, but it takes a toll. I'm overwhelmed all the time, worried about school, my kids, the logistical tightrope I walk on a daily basis. I'm always pushing. There is no relief. I'm concerned that I am hurling toward burnout if something doesn't change. If affordable childcare was available on campus, it would transform my life. I could retrieve my children from one location, getting hours of my day back that are currently being spent driving across the city. I wouldn't have to worry about their safety or finding new affordable childcare options each year. I'd be able to focus more on my schoolwork, take more classes, and complete my degree a whole lot faster. Single mothers need childcare to achieve their full potential. That's why I'm asking you to please support SF3806 and bring quality, affordable childcare to college campuses across Minnesota. 10 of thousands of student parents are counting on you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony, Ms. Carter, and for sharing your story with us. Next, we have Karina Vieda, who's a student at the University of Minnesota, and I believe on Zoom. So welcome. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Fate. For the record, my name is Karina Vieda. I'm a mother, I'm a student, an advocate, and a future lawyer, and I'm delighted to be here to share my story with you. My presence here today is not just for myself, but for countless of mothers across Minnesota who are struggling. I also want my daughter to have a brighter future. But the lack of affordable childcare is a huge financial burden. It's a barrier that's preventing us from reaching our full potential. We should be allowed to have access to programs like Head Start to provide our children with a foundation of learning that they'll carry with them throughout their school career. Yet Minnesota is caught in a vicious cycle. We need education to secure a better future for ourselves and our children, but we need childcare to be able to attend school. But then we also need to work full-time to afford childcare. This cycle is a huge challenge. It's a trap that's keeping us from moving forward. My daughter deserves better, and so do all children in Minnesota. Programs like this make it easier for mothers like myself who have many things to do in life, and we do it to get by. There are some resources out there, institutions that have stepped in to close the gaps where policy has fallen short. However, the resources that exist are woefully insufficient. For example, at the University of Minnesota, there is a child care assistance grant that supports parenting students with to pay for child care. However, there's not enough funds to meet the demand here. I have applied to multiple state and federal child care assistance programs, only to wait 7 and sometimes 8 months just to learn that I've been denied or that there is no longer funds available. Affordable child care on campus would be game changing for me and my family. It would allow us to bridge the gap between now and kindergarten. I could complete my undergraduate degree more efficiently and apply for law school without the stress about child care coverage. I would set Luna up for success, and isn't that what we want for all kids here in Minnesota? So I urge that you support Senate File 3806 for me, for Luna, and for all the working mothers across the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Vieta. Thank you, Ms. Vieta. Our next testifier is Tyrell Devathis. And I want to apologize because I get your name wrong every single time. If you could, please state your full name for the record and commence your testimony when you're ready.
Yes. Hello, Chair and community members of the committee. My name is Tyro Devilites, and I am the Vice President of LEADMN. It is an organization that represents 100,000 community and technical college students across Minnesota. And I am here to urge you to support Senate File 3806. And establish Head Start programs on community college campuses across the state. Just imagine you're a young mother or father trying to build a life for yourself and your family. You work and are paying for school on your own. You enroll at a 2-year institution, and the more affordable option, while you take your general education classes and narrow down your major. As you register for your classes, you try to register your kid for daycare and encounter years-long wait lists and fees that are higher than your rent. The panic sets in. What do you do if you can't find affordable, quality childcare? Will you be forced to drop out of school before you even begin? 1 in 5 college students are parents, and this story is familiar to many of them. Across Minnesota, childcare is unaffordable and inaccessible. We have the country's 4th highest infant care cost, with families spending 21% of their income on childcare for one infant. This is a heavy and unnecessary burden, particularly at community colleges, where more than 50% of students are eligible for Pell Grants. It doesn't take much of a leap to see how childcare crisis is adversely affecting parenting students. A college education remains the primary driver of social and economic mobility, and the lack of quality, affordable childcare threatens to impede that path. You can't go to school if you don't have a safe place to send your children, and yet we know it works. Access to affordable childcare, particularly services offered on college campuses, have been associated with enhanced persistence and completion rates among community college students who are also parents. Bringing Head Start to campuses would boost college completion, particularly among parenting community college students with the greatest need. And it could yield a triple bottom line, assisting student parents in advancing their education, ensuring a nurturing environment for students and their children, and developing the childcare workforce that we so desperately need in Minnesota. You have the opportunity to do the right thing and have a positive impact on Minnesota families. We strongly encourage you to support SF3806 and establish the Head Start programs on community college campuses across the state. for Lita Men's students and all the student parents. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your testimony. Our next testifier is Inam Alhamouri. If you would please come to the table, state your full name for the record, and commence your testimony when you're ready.
I feel like I'm so far away. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Anam Alhamouri, and I'm here today representing the Start Early Founders Coalition. Just to tell you a little bit about this coalition, it's a group of almost 20 funders across the state of Minnesota, all working to ensure Minnesota's children are physically, socially, emotionally, and cognitively prepared for school and a lifelong success. We're here today to speak about the Kids on Campus bill because we know that high-quality childcare and early learning are essential for lifelong health and well-being. Our members know that investing in childcare facilities on college campuses is a vital step forward, ensuring equal opportunities for all families, regardless of their social economic background. One of our members, the West Central Initiative Foundation, who submitted a letter of support for this proposal, works closely with their local community and technical colleges, and currently has two colleges that house the Head Start program and sees firsthand the impact it has on the students and the children in the program. Another one of our members, the Initiative Foundation out of Little Falls, also works closely with community colleges in the state central region. All of these programs have identified on-site childcare needs for both students and families and have shared that some of the students enrolled are unable to complete their internships simply because of the lack in childcare support. With college education crucial for upward mobility in the state of Minnesota, we must address the barriers that student parents are facing. As you've already heard, one in five college students in our state are parents. Facing high childcare costs, roughly around 21% of their income for one infant, the federal government recommendation is at 7%. Student parents must work an average of 49 hours per week to cover childcare and tuition at a four-year institution, a burden exuberated at community colleges where over 50% of them depend on Pell Grants. Access to childcare is no longer easily accessible. Lengthy wait lists and commuting for childcare options are common. Only four community colleges have Head Start partnerships, despite their proven effectiveness in supporting student parents' persistence and completion rates. Senate File 3806 is pivotal. By allocating startup funds for Head Start programs on community colleges' campuses statewide, we provide crucial relief. This initiative not only addresses immediate childcare needs, but also fosters a more inclusive higher education system. Your support is not just a legislative decision. It's a commitment to empowering student parents. Together, we ensure every Minnesotan has the opportunity for economic stability through higher education. And I would like to thank you for your attention and your dedication to our state's education's future. Thank you.
Thanks very much. That's the close of our testimony. Just to have a couple of quick comments, actually. Ms. Carter back there, I can still see you. I just want to say that neither of my folks graduated from college. And my mom took me to classes when I was about five, and I took notes with crayons. And I still remember vividly that experience. I don't remember a damn thing about archaeology. That's what the class was. But I remember being in the class and feeling how powerful a college could feel, how magical it felt, and how proud of my mother I was that she was there doing that. And I'm sure that your kids are going to feel that some way, too. And I'm sorry if they turn out like me because of the similar experience. And I also want to say, although I'm a little bit nervous about this one, Senator Kupak, given how the last bill went, but I noticed there's one spot left on this one. And if you're willing to let me sign on, I would appreciate that. You don't actually even have to remember it, but I'd still like to sign on if you would.
Sure.
So, members, questions, comments? Senator Verbaeten, and we're Verbaeten.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It looks like you stole the last spot for me. I was going to ask about that, too. But I think this is great and just speaks to the work that we've been doing in this committee about seeing education really as this like continuum, making sure that we're supporting all the needs, seeing the student as like a whole, right? All the things that they bring with them to school and to the classroom. This is a really important piece of making sure that they can actually pursue that education. So great to see it. Happy to support it, even if there's not room for me on the bill.
Members, any other comments or questions? Seeing none, Senate file. Senator Kupak, closing comments.
No, I just thank you for the time and the support of this. I know particularly the one in Detroit Lakes, which is located in my district, that the community leaders, the mayor and city manager, all in the city council, really feel that that is a super vital part of the community there and in supporting the workforce in Detroit Lakes. So it'd be great to add that to more places.
Thank you, Senator Kupak. Senate file 3806 will be laid over for possible conclusion. Members, there being no more business before the committee, we are adjourned. That was quick.